Hey, Lent Up Early, it's March 3rd, year of our Lord 2022. Pastor Brian Wolfmuller, here you go. Here's the podcast. Thanks for being part of it. Here's a devotion to start us off. Romans 10, verse 8. What does it say? Quote, "The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart." That is, the word of faith that we proclaim. Paul says, we don't need to climb up into heaven to bring Jesus down. We don't need to go down to the pit to bring Jesus up. He's not there anyway. He says the word of God is near to us. This is our basic biblical confession, that God comes to us. He comes to us according to creation to give us all that we need for this body and life. He comes to us in the incarnation, as Jesus puts on our flesh and blood to dwell with us and to carry our sins and sorrows and be our Savior. And the Holy Spirit comes to us to make us holy, and he does it in his word. He puts his word in our ears and in our hearts. He washes us with the water and the word. He puts his word with the bread and the wine and the body and the blood to forgive all of our sins, so that salvation is not some sort of grand quest, at least not on our part. We're the recipients of his work, of his descent, of his humiliation, of his arriving right at our doorstep. What does it say? The word is near you. God be praised. Here's today's question. As a Lutheran, I understand the gift of baptism and what is imputed to us when we receive it. I also understand that it can never be taken away from us. So my question is, if a baptized person falls away from attending church and is no longer interested and ignores the teachings of the church, will that person still be saved? It's a great question. It puts in contrast these two different teachings that we have from the scriptures. Number one, that baptism is God's work to bless us and save us. I think that the key text when thinking about baptism, especially in our kind of free will context of salvation in the church today, which thinks that salvation is something that we do, a decision that we make, it's good to remember that that baptism is God's work of salvation. And the key text for this is Ephesians 5, where we learn that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, washing her with the washing of the water and the word. So that baptism is Jesus washing his church and cleansing her with, so that we, his bride, are without any spot or wrinkle or any such thing. It's a beautiful, beautiful promise. So we confess that baptism is God's work. It's his promise to make us his children, to adopt us into his family, to cleanse us of all sins, to rescue us from sin, death, and the devil. In baptism, we are buried with Christ and raised with him in newness of life. In baptism, we put on Christ. In baptism, he takes our heart of stone and gives us a heart of flesh. In baptism, we are part of God's family. We're adopted so that the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit is now our family name as well. So we receive all of these gifts, and we receive them according to God's promise, and God cannot lie. So these stand true. Like what Paul says to the Romans, let God be true and every man a liar. Now we also know, according to the scriptures, that it is possible for someone to believe and then stop believing, to be saved and then to lose their salvation. There's really two ways that this happens. Well, it's one way, but it looks like two different ways to us. One is to pursue a life defined by unrepentant sin, to chase after the flesh rather than after the commandments of God, to simply throw up any attempt to treasure the Lord's commandments. This is apostasy, and it comes when we might want to have the Lord's word of kindness, but we reject his word of instruction. So gross immorality. We think of King David, who was a murderer and an adulterer, and the Holy Spirit left him. There's losing salvation on the other side, which is thinking that we don't need Jesus anymore, that we've managed our own salvation on our own terms. That's where St. Paul says, well, for the verse for the first time, you can think of a verse like St. Paul in to the Corinthians, who says, "He who thinks he stands, beware lest he fall." Or then on the other side, to the Galatians, he says, you were justified by faith, and now you're going to be made perfect by circumcision? If you seek to be made perfect by the law, you've fallen from grace. So the dangers are on both sides of the road, that we would fall on one side into unrepentant sin, or on the other side into unrepentant arrogance, into the thought that we don't need the Lord's mercy. And both of these falls are really falls away from repentance. Remember that repentance has two parts. Contrition, that is, that we recognize our own sinfulness and that we deserve God's wrath and eternal punishment. And then faith, that we cling to the promise of Jesus and the kindness that he offers to us in the gospel, that we trust in his mercy and his love. That's repentance, contrition, and faith. And that's what the devil attacks, and that's what it means to lose our faith, to lose repentance, to lose either contrition or to lose faith, to stop the voice of the law or to stop the voice of the gospel. Now, baptism is repentance. Baptism is this burial and resurrection. Baptism is the Lord bringing this law and gospel to us. So to lose the salvation is to lose the gift of baptism. So it doesn't mean, though, and this is maybe the point, it doesn't mean that baptism doesn't remain true. I was talking to someone even yesterday, and they said, "I left the faith, and now I believe. Do I need to be baptized again?" And I said, "No, you've come back to your baptism. You've come back to that truth of what the Lord has done. You've returned to the home which you fled, like the prodigal son." And so baptism stands as God's gift, even if we're busy running away from it, despising it, and so forth. Now, where does that leave us when a person is busy rejecting the gifts of their baptism? Well, God be praised that we don't stand as judge. That belongs to Jesus in the end. But we are always hoping and praying, and our call back to the people who are wandering away from the church is, hey, the Lord baptized you. He claimed you. You belong to him. So trust in his name. Believe in his word. Rejoice in his promises. That's as close as I can get to an answer. I think that's as close as the scriptures will let us get to an answer. There's still some unresolved things in that answer, but I think that they have to remain unresolved until the last day. So thanks so much for that question. Here's something beautiful. "How pale thou art with anguish, with sore abuse and scorn. How doth thy face now languish, that once was bright as morn. Grim death with cruel rigor has robbed thee of thy life. Thus thou hast lost thy vigor, thy strength, in this sad strife. What thou, my Lord, hast suffered was all for sinner's gain. Mine was the transgression, but thine the deadly pain. Lo, here I fall, my Savior, 'tis I deserve thy place. Look on me with thy favor and grant to me thy grace. Amen." Hey, thanks for being part of the fun What Not the Podcast. Lent up early. Love to hear back from you. I think the best way to do that is wolfmuller.co/contact. You can also find a ton of free books and stuff there. Some books you can buy too, but I think almost everything's available for download. Love to hear about that as well. If there's something else that you would like to see, I'm working on kind of a cool I'm working on a cool project that's trying to integrate some some book and video stuff. We'll see if it works. Say a prayer that could stay motivated on this thing and see if we can get it done by Easter time. Otherwise, I hope you're all well, rejoicing in the Lord and His kindness. God's peace be with you. Talk to you tomorrow.